السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد: فبشرناه بغلام حليم. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله. My noble audience, last week and the week before that, we selected the profound, rich story of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. And basically for the last 2 weeks and for the weeks to come, we will be extracting profound, rich lessons. Indeed, the stories that have been made mention in the Quran have been made mention for a reason. And the main reason is that we can derive lessons from them. Because basically, prophets and saintly personalities of the past were human beings. And they had needs very similar to our needs. They used to face tribulations. They used to be tested. And many a times they used to be tested much more than us. And we learn from the stories how they dealt with different ahwal and different circumstances. And that's why it is most important that we study these stories and try to derive lessons. The entire Quran from cover to cover is basically a book of hidayah. And hidayah means guidance. So right now we may be in a theater of prosperity. We need to learn learn about the people that were given similar circumstances like us and what they did in that theater, like Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam. And then there have been prolific personalities, sahaba of prophets, that enjoyed the same ahwal that we are enjoying right now. And then there are people in other parts of the same world that are very much tested. So there are prophets that have been spoken about in the Quran, spoken about by the Prophet of Allah, and those people have to study them to understand how they dealt with the circumstances. And that's why Allah Almighty says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهُ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. That there is no confusion and there is no doubt and ambiguity in this book. لَا رَيْبَ فِيهُ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. It is guidance for humanity. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, if we study his life from start to end, it was basically a depiction of testing and testing of different kinds. And basically, Allah Almighty, the examiner, at the end of his life, leaked out the result. And we know about that result that has been captured in the verse of Surah Al-Baqarah, in the word فَأَتَمَّهُن, that he succeeded. So basically, he was tested nearly every step of his journey from a very young age. From the age of 13, 14 onwards, he was tested. Nowadays, we treat a child of the age of 13 or 14 as a child. We don't even give him any responsibility. He's hand fed. But Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, from a very young age, was tested, and Allah Almighty made mention of the result for فَأَتَمَّهُن, that he succeeded. Now, I made mention last week or in the weeks of the past that Allah Almighty basically puts a person through little tests, and then if this person shows potential, if he shows potential, then the test is intensified. And basically, the greatest test that Allah can send somebody's way is the test of life. And that's why in Surah Tawbah, Surah number 9, verse number 111, Allah Almighty says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ. بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ, that verily Allah has purchased from the believers their lives. So the highest level test has been made mention first in this ayah. وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ, and then their commodities, and then their belongings. بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ, for the price that they shall receive Jannah. Now nothing in this world is free. Even a ride from Holland Park to the city will cost you something. And this ride is very, very small. It only takes about 10-15 minutes. But if the ride is longer, it will cost much more. So if you were to ride on a bus from here to Sydney, the price will increase. And then it's up to the person if he wants to change the conveyance and the transport. You find many people that they ride motorbikes. And you say, why do you ride a motorbike? It's not safe. They say it's cheaper. It's cheaper. So they will ride a motorbike that is cheaper, but it is dangerous. God forbid they have a fall, most probably they won't come out healthy. But they will tolerate all that and endure all that and sacrifice all that for a cheap ride. Now if a person was to travel in the sky from one destination to another destination, from Brisbane to Sydney, the price will increase. So basically one is the distance of the journey that we are covering. And second is the choice that we make in relation to the conveyance. These are two things. Now if we study the journeys of the Anbiya, they travelled. They travelled from arrival to departure. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam travelled all his life. And he chose the best conveyance. And that is the conveyance of commitment and conviction. And not shunning away from the test, but taking it on the chin, face on. That I am going to go through this test. I'm going to come out of this test with flying colors. So they used to travel long distances when it used to come to conviction and commitment. That used to be their conveyance. And they used to come out on the other side with the title by Allah Almighty, فَأَتَمَّهُمْ, that they have succeeded. So basically, people of nowadays, like myself, yourself, we don't have that ability. Allah knows of our weaknesses. And the more the vessel of humanity drifts away from the Mubarak time of Nabi Akram Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there's going to be cracks and openings in that vessel. There's going to be cracks and openings in that vessel. So there is weakness in the entire world. So Allah Almighty does not send tribulations and testing as He used to test the people of the past. So it will be temporary. It won't be prolonged and protracted. Now if we study the life of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, we come to know that he gave the sacrifice of both. One is the sacrifice of the belongings, the goods, the commodities. He gave up everything. But I made mention last week that the giving of life compared to the taking of the life of the child is easier. Now one thing I would like you to focus upon, and this is a very important aspect to the story of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam that has been captured in Surah Safat, Surah number 37, verse 100 onwards. This order that was given to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to sacrifice the child was an order that was given in a dream. Why was it given in a dream? Allah could have directly spoken to Hazrat Ibrahim and said, I want you to sacrifice your child. Indeed, Nabi Akram Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to receive revelation through dreams sometimes. For example, the Umrah that the Nabi of Allah went to perform, and basically he could not complete it because of the people of Makkah. And then the entire journey ended in the truce of Hudaybiyah, Sulh Hudaybiyah. Basically, the start of this journey was a dream. لَقَدْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ الرُّؤْيَا بِالْحَقِّ, that the Nabi of Allah saw a dream. But most of revelation that Nabi Akram Muhammad ﷺ received was outside a dream. It was in real life. Now indeed, dream is one dimension of receiving revelation, but it is not the norm. It is not the common practice of prophets to receive orders and revelation in dreams. But when we study the life of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and we arrive at this junction, and the order that is to be given is an order that will be spoken about by generations to come, and the practice will be upheld by thousands and millions in time to come. Why was this order given in a dream? And this is a beautiful, there's a beautiful response to this that basically encaptures the inner sentiments and conviction of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. When it comes to dreams, you can interpret the dream in many ways. There's a lot of room. You can get away with it. So the prophet that is known to translate dreams and is known for this science is Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And if you listen to the dreams that were witnessed by people, the kettles eaten, you can't really figure out what's going on. But Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was an expert in the translation of dreams. He came up with the precise and the perfect commentary and the precise meaning. But the outward look of the dream does not make sense. So Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam has a lot of room to move with. Now Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to see many dreams as well. He used to see many dreams. And basically, prior to receiving Iqra' Bismi Rabbika Alladhi Khalaq, for 6 months he saw dreams. And whatever he used to see, he used to see the manifestation of that the following day or in quick time. But there's a lot of room in the translation, in the establishment of that dream. Now if a person, a prophet, was to see a dream where he is sacrificing his child, and the child is that child that has grown up, and that's why the Quran says, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعِي. When Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam grew up to be old enough to walk with Hazrat Ibrahim, the pain of losing a child in infancy is less than losing a child when he grows up. Because that commitment, that investment has not been made as it is made with a child that has grown up. So how many mothers and fathers lose their children in infancy? Of course it's painful, but they get over it in quick time. But if investment has been made and that child has grown up, then there is history with the child. And each day allows the person, the father, the mother, to develop with the child. Now when that child reaches the age of 15 and 16, and then the order comes in a dream that you need to sacrifice your child, the fatherly love, the history with the child, the age of the child, this all plays a very important role in how the person is going to translate the dream. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam could have said that Allah demands that I make a great sacrifice. This could have been a translation of the dream. He didn't have to take it literally. Because those people that know about dreams and the translation of dreams, you don't have to take the dream literally. There's a lot of room. Allah Almighty wanted to see Will Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam shift from the literal towards something that is different than the literal dream because of the fatherly love, because of the investment, because of the history with this child? But as we know that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam did not budge, and he took the dream literally. He did not inject any of his thoughts towards the dream. He took it literally. And without any hesitation, without procrastinating, he went forward. And then he called for his child and he says, "Look, I want to do this. Are you ready?" And he said, "Look, I'm ready." Ya baniya inni ara fil manami anni azbahuka fanzur madha tara qala ya abati fa'al ma tu'mar satajiduni inshallah min as-sabirin. You will find me from those that are patient. That I am going to try to be steadfast. Now the outstanding characteristic of Hazrat Ismail. Now keep in mind, the Christians and the Jews are not of this belief that this child that was sacrificed was Ismail. They believe it was Ishaq. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala is of this opinion that it was Hazrat Ishaq, not Hazrat Ismail. So there's been a few Sahaba as well that are of this opinion that the child that was sacrificed was not Ismail. So keep that in mind as well. So this is Mukhtalafi. But most of the Muslim scholars and most of the Sahaba are of this opinion that it was Ismail. And one of the dalils, the evidences that they give that is very strong, is that Nabi Akrim Muhammad said, "I am Ibn Dhabihain. I am the child of those two fathers that were sacrificed." Right? So Hazrat Muhammad is linking himself with two people that were sacrificed or ransomed. And one was Hazrat Abdullah, his father. And this is a story behind it, a beautiful story. And the second is his father, Ismail. So saying, "Ibn, I am the child of those two that have been sacrificed," he's linking himself with Ismail, because there's no doubt about this, that he is from the family tree of Ismail. But Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he said that the child that was sacrificed was Ishaq, not Ismail. So you may come across this sometimes in a discussion with a non-believer. But may it be Hazrat Ismail, according to the consensus of the Ummah, or may it be Ishaq, the lesson is what is important. The lesson is what is important. No, not who was sacrificed, but the lesson behind it. The lesson of sacrifice. Nowadays, we realize that throughout the entire world, there are so many people that are making sacrifice. But keep in mind, sacrifice allows a person to develop. And if a person succeeds in the ibtila, in the sacrifice, at the end, there is mighty benefit for this person. And that's why there are two verses that I would like to translate and then shed some light upon them from Surah Ali Imran. Now, Surah Ali Imran is one of the lengthiest surahs in the Quran. And it is verse number 9192. So you can go back and study. So Allah Almighty says, "Innal ladhina kafaru wa matu wa hum kuffar." If a person is a non-believer and he dies while he is a non-believer, so he didn't make tawbah, he didn't come into the fold of submission, so he died as a non-believer. فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمْ مِلْءُ الْأَرْضِ ذَهَبًا وَلَوْ افْتَدَى بِهِ. If the entire world was full of gold and this one person was to offer it as a ransom, فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ, it will not be accepted. And basically the hadith indicates that on the day of judgment a person will be summoned, jazakumullah, in the court of Allah Almighty, and Allah Almighty will say that if the entire world is full of gold, are you ready to give it as a ransom? And he will say, "Ya Allah, I am ready." Allah will say that when you were in the dunya, I asked you for so little. Now you are ready to give everything. But when you were in dunya, I asked you for very little. You were not ready to give that little. sacrifice of a little of the sleep to wake up for Fajr. Sacrifice 10 or 5 minutes after every 3-4 hours. This is what I demanded. Sacrifice the desire to do certain things. Allah Almighty didn't say sacrifice your desires completely. If Allah gave us carnal desires, He says get married. We could have objected on the Day of Judgment and say, Allah, you sent us with carnal desires and you did not give us an avenue where to discharge those carnal desires. Allah says, no, I made nikah halal for you. Allah gave us taste buds. He didn't say everything is haram. He said there are certain things that are forbidden, unlawful. Keep away from them. The rest is all halal. And if you study, most of it is halal. The entire ocean is halal. Fruits and vegetables are halal. Certain things, little, very little, haram. The rest is all halal. So Allah Almighty will say, Maine to bahut thoda manga tha aapse. Thode ko to qurban nahi kiya aur ab sab kuch qurban karne ke liye taiyar ho. I asked you for very little. You were not ready to give that sacrifice and now you're ready to give everything. And then immediately after this, in verse number 92, Allah says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You cannot attain birr, piety and righteousness, unless you spend that which you love. And if we link this verse 92 with Surah Tawbah verse 111, Allah Almighty has encapsulated the two things that are very, very mahbub to us. Anfusahum wa amwalahum. Anfusahum wa amwalahum. Our commodities and our life. And basically everything that we do in this world is to gather the goods so we can improve our life. So these are the two things that are propelling a person to make the effort. I would like to conclude on the statement of a very famous person, a saintly person, Asim bin Abi Najud, rahimahullah. And his statement has been captured in Hulyatul Awliya. He says, Hamman, la budda lil mu'min minhuma, hammul ma'ash wa hammul ma'ad. There are two worries that concerns every believer. It's a very strong statement. There are two worries that concerns every believer. No one is exempted from these two worries. Hammul ma'ash, the worry of collecting sustenance, wa hammul ma'ad, my translation, and the worry of collecting sustenance for akhirah. The test is that we do not allow the worry of the sustenance of this dunya to engulf us to such a level that we do not leave anything for the worry of akhirah. So Allah Almighty is going to test us today, tomorrow, in weeks to come. Maybe us, maybe another part of our Muslim body. We need to know how to address and how to react. Allah Rabbul Izzat give us the sifat of the Anbiya, the sifat of the true followers, and Allah make us from the Abrar. Now, if you go back home as a study, come study Surah Baqarah verse 177. Go back home, study Surah Al-Baqarah verse 177, in which Allah Almighty has spoken about the sifat, the characteristics of the Abrar. Because Allah says, لَن تَنَالُ الْبِرَّ. You cannot attain piety. And basically this is what we're trying to do unless we spend that which is mahbub to us. A beautiful description of the Abrar in Surah Baqarah, verse 177. Allah Rabbul Izzat give us tawfiq. Allah Rabbul Izzat allow us to implement. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka.